It is 8:46. We say hello to Mayor Bob Menezza. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm great, Mary Ellen. How are you?
I'm well.
Nice foggy morning out
here. I know.
Hope people are driving carefully.
Let's hope so, right? My goodness. Yeah, it's going to hang around till about noon. So yeah. I haven't seen any freighters come through the channel in a while, but I wanted to talk to you about dredging.
Okay.
That is something that happens, and we don't really, you know, you don't really pay attention to it till you see it happening, and you go, oh, they're out there doing some work.
Right.
Am I right? Yeah.
That's right. We have to keep keep the channel dredged, and it gets full of sediment, and it gets shallow, and it gets places where boats can get hung up, or they might have to come in with lighter loads. So usually about late spring, sometimes early. So usually late spring we'll have dredging done. That's always run by the Corps of Engineers through contractors because it's a navigable harbor. And we're kind of an important harbor in the state of Michigan, but we found out that Eagle, the state's Department of Environment and Great Lakes, has put in a requirement now that's kind of it's a new requirement. In fact, it kind of came out of nowhere, but it was they want us to start sampling the dredging the river bottom for PFAS. Because there's PFAS that's in the river, that's in the sediment, it washes downstream from farther upstream. There's and we know we have some on our site on Harbor Island as well, but that's pretty much on that site.
Right.
But so they're requiring that we have sampling done of the sediment before they'll give us permission to do the dredging or to dispose of the dredging material. And so that interacts with the Corps of Engineers because it's the Corps that would have the responsibility to do that sampling.
Right.
And of course, they coordinate and they get the contractor for the dredging itself. And the city is kind of caught in the middle on this because we need to have it done. We need to have our port facilities active and operating efficiently.
Oh, for sure.
So right now we're kind of caught up in a delay. So the dredging we had expected to do this spring isn't going to happen this spring because, first of all, there's this requirement to do the sampling that goes to the Corps, and the Corps has to decide whether or not they're going to do it.
Yeah, you got to wonder how they feel about that.
Yeah, so I mean, nobody really asked them, well, would you like to do sampling? It was more like, here, we need to do this.
And uh-huh.
So they're trying to decide within their own structure, are they going to do it? And if they're going to do it, when? And who's going to do it? And so this is going to put a delay of months.
Yeah, you're not
into
kidding.
The process.
Yeah.
And then once it gets done, assuming that it does get done, the sampling results would go back to Eagle, and they would have to, they'll probably take 6 months or a year or something. They'll take a long period of time to analyze and decide what they're going to do, what kind of permits they'll issue. And so it looks like our dredging is pushed out at least a year.
You have to be kidding
and
me.
And so it's going to take some time because of this. I mean, it would have been one thing
if
we had had time to react and make sure all these permit requirements were in place before the dredging could be stopped. But right now it sounds like we're in a waiting pattern for interaction between Eagle and the Corps of Engineers to decide how to deal with this.
And I know you've been in touch with officials such as our state rep and
right.
Senator.
We've been talking to Van Workum and to Victory and to Scolton.
Rep Scolton, she's aware.
Rep
okay.
Scolton is involved in it because it involves both federal and state agencies.
You're not kidding.
Eagle is a state agency. And, you know, the intent is a good intent. It's one of those, you know, the road is paved with good intentions and such, but the idea is to not take PFAS laden materials and either spread them around or put them in the wrong impound area or something
right.
like that. But by the same token, you have to have time to deal with it, so you have to set up everything that's involved. And now here we are in our dredging schedule. We're due for it. We're starting to shallow up a bit in the river. We've had some problems, and eventually it's going to lead to freighters coming in with lesser loads. And,
I was wondering about that because I've seen them come in when the
and so that that'll
be
an issue.
Slow.
So then the economics of it becomes a little bit more doubtful, and we don't need more economic challenges.
We do not, because the trickle down effect from this. So, yeah, isn't that something?
Yeah, it's something, and so it's something that's kind of working in the background right now. But I wasn't sure if you were aware of it.
I was not.
The public was aware of it, but this is something that if you're looking for the dredging or wondering what's going on, it's in kind of a holding pattern now while we sort out these permits and this testing requirement.
Yeah, and I Googled it. I Googled dredging delays in Michigan, and it looks like it's happening on the other side of the state, too, in Port Huron. So it's all over the state.
So ours is the second port in Michigan to have this requirement. There will probably be others.
Okay.
But this is kind of a new program Eagle is rolling out because they are very concerned about PFAS, and it is a serious issue.
Well, sure.
But it's also one of those that, you know, it takes thoughtful planning in order to deal with, and so doing something precipitously doesn't help.
No. My gosh. Very interesting. Well, we'll have to see how this all pans out.
Well, we'll see how that pans out.
Yeah. But, you know, so. We'll have to revisit this in a couple of months and see where we're at on this.
Hopefully in a couple of months we'll have a pretty good answer.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? To know something.
Yeah, the first step is getting Corps of Engineers on the same page with Eagle. And that's kind of out of our hands.
Okay.
We're doing what we can do to make sure people are involved and are aware.
All right. All right, let's move to the agenda.
Okay.
I see that Roger Bergman will be on the Main Street Downtown Development Authority, that term ending June 30th, 2025. That's not a very long time. What's up with that?
Well, so we've had an opening on the DDA for a resident of the district.
Oh, okay.
So, in fact, it's required by law that you hold a seat open for a resident, somebody who actually lives in the downtown district. Yes, he does. And the seat has been open since before I was came back as mayor. It was open the summer before, so it's been a year and a half that this has been open, and so it's a partial term, so it happens to end this summer, and so we're appointing to that. It ends then, but then he's eligible for reappointment.
Okay.
So if he's interested in sticking around and doing more, then we're interested in putting him to work.
Sure.
He's a very, very capable, very experienced, fairly knowledgeable, and very empathetic person.
Yes, so he is.
We're looking forward to having his input on it.
That's good to hear.
The DDA is kind of going through a... they're referring to it as a transformation strategy. It's a part of their recertification as a Main Street DDA.
Right.
And so they're going through a process where they're looking at their goals, objectives, strategies, things to make the DDA a better place. And so he's coming on at a timely point.
Oh, good.
Along with some other, we just put a couple of other people on at our last meeting. Mm-hmm. So we filled up the DDA now with this appointment.
Wonderful.
And so the fact that it's a shorter term is just the way the terms happen to fall.
Okay, good.
The good news is that if we get somebody in a partial term, they can be reappointed to two full terms after that because the partial term doesn't count against them.
There you go.
So we'll see how long he wants to stick around and do this.
Yeah, he may never want to leave.
Right, and then we're putting Amy Lalek Prinzi on for the Historic Conservation District Commission.
She's wonderful.
She works with local schools doing cheerleader training, mm-hmm. and she also is involved in Central Park Players.
Yep.
And she's a dentist locally.
Yep.
I think she's actually, her office I think is actually in Norton Shores. So we found a couple of good people to put on boards.
Wonderful.
And then we got a really light agenda this
time. Yeah, you do.
That doesn't mean it'll be a short meeting because sometimes when we have short agendas, the council members get more talkative.
Ah,
so there's no guarantee that won't happen.
That's true.
But as far as what we actually need to do, besides our usual approving minutes and bills and
all that,
we got two things on our agenda. One is there's another company, a MetroNet Infrastructure Group, which is based in Indiana. No, I guess they're based in... This says they're based in Delaware. I think they're actually working out of Indiana, but they're going to be establishing a fiber optic network in the area.
Yes, they are.
And they needed an area. They need a little patch of land somewhere to put in a control cabinet, basically some infrastructure to support their operation.
Okay.
So they looked around. They decided they wanted to be down in Comstock by the airport.
Right.
And so this is we're going to approve a non-exclusive perpetual easement for MetroNet on airport property, which is right along Comstock. So it's right on the edge of Comstock, right-of-way, airport property. Because it's airport property and because it was obtained with FAA funding, it's hard to sell it. It's hard to do anything other than provide an easement. So that's why it's not a sale of property, but a perpetual easement. It is just simpler to do it that way than try to go through all the gyrations of trying to sell it. But it's only like a 12-foot by 30-foot easement. So it's a small piece of land. It's just a place to put a cabinet, basically, and access to it so they can service it. So that's one item. The other one is the cemetery board has been working on a project for a cemetery for what they call their Potter's Field, which is an area where you have a large number of people buried there. They're not in well-marked graves. Some of them are in unmarked. Some of them have markings. Some of them came from our back when Central Park used to be a cemetery in the late 19th century.
Wow.
And that, because I don't know if people are aware of that, but Central Park used to be the town cemetery. It used to be on the edge of town way back in the 1870s and 1860s. Well, when that became a park, they moved those bodies to Lake Forest Cemetery. They also, there's people who have drowned in shipwrecks or off the shore who may not have been from here, but ended up being buried here.
Mm-hmm.
There's stillborn infants. There's a variety of people. And Chuck Fuller from our cemetery board and some of the other members have been working on identifying all the names, getting a list of all the names and where they could, the stories of these people, but certainly identifying who's there.
Right.
And the ones who are unmarked, and they deserve to have a marking of some sort. And the ones who are deserve to be recognized. So they've come up with this project to put placards or vertical signs in the cemetery at the Potter's Field area. There'll be like 7 of these.
I think this is wonderful.
Right, there'll be almost 1,000 names on these placards. There's like there's 7 with like 135 names or something like that on each one.
Wow.
And so those have been – it's largely privately financed. We had a generous –
I saw that. $50,000.
Yeah, generous donation. And there's some money from the city, but mostly it's being privately financed. And I'm sure that if somebody wanted to contribute to it, that would be helpful as well.
Okay.
The city's going to put a wayfinding sign in with these others just to identify the spot.
Wonderful.
So it'll be a really nice addition. It'll be very tasteful. It'll be very good remembrance of the folks who were there.
Oh, sure.
And it's part of the story of Grand Haven.
Nice. That'll be nice.
And so, and that's pretty much our agenda.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. Nothing else going on.
Whatever else council members want to talk about.
Nothing else going on. That's it. That's it. That's it. Now, I know you can't campaign on the air, but your term will be up, and so will some council members' terms be up. Are you going to throw your hat in the race for mayor?
Yes, I am. I'm going to run again.
You are. Yeah. Okay.
I love the job. Glad to do it. I'm very honored that people have elected me and trying to do a good job for them, and I'd like to keep doing that. So yes, I'll be doing that, but you know, like I say, it's right now it's a matter of people are putting their getting nominating petitions. So anybody who's interested in running either for council or for mayor seat or for Board of Light and Power,
yep,
there's openings there. So you can go get a nominating petition, and you have to get 25 names in the city. That's, I think that's per city ordinance for a local, or for, I think it's per charter.
Okay.
For local offices. And so it's not a real large number of signatures you have to get. And then you put that in, become a candidate.
Wonderful.
That's okay. How you qualify to be on the November ballot. Mm-hmm. If there's more than two people for any given seat that's running, they have to have a primary in August.
Okay.
So like if 3 or 4 people put in their name for mayor, then we'd have a primary in August to
right.
get it down to 2. So okay. that you only have 2 choices for each seat. There'll be the mayor seat is up because it's a 2-year term.
Mm-hmm.
Council members have a 4-year term. 2 of them, the ones occupied by Kevin and Karen, are up for re-election this year. And then the seat that Ryan Cummins occupied, which is currently vacant,
right.
That'll be on the ballot. Because mm-hmm. even if we had filled it, it would have been on the ballot because we can only appoint someone until the next city election.
Right.
So it's a midterm for that one. So it'll actually be a 2-year term that a person would be elected to because we would have to have another election 2 years to get them back on their proper schedule.
Okay.
So we have two council members and a mayor up for election every city election.
Mm-hmm.
Then BLP has a 6-year term, and those are staggered.
Okay.
And so the person that we recently appointed to fill Andrew Hendricks' seat he would have to run again because it's the next city election. We can only appoint someone until then.
Okay. Did I ever tell you I was on a village council? Did I ever tell you that?
I think you did once.
It came up. I'm doing a podcast with Sarah Leach from Ottawa News Network, and we were just talking about meetings, whether it's a council meeting, you know, a city council meeting or a commissioner's meeting, and I was like, I wonder if they doodle. I was a big doodler.
Okay.
You know, me, right? You know me. I can't sit still. So when I was on village council in Ravenna, I would just doodle a lot. It didn't mean I wasn't paying attention. It was just something for me. You know, I can't sit still.
Yeah, sometimes it helps you focus. I tend to write notes all over my agenda.
You do? Okay.
So when I come in after a meeting, I'll get out my agenda. I'll have stuff written all over it.
I love it.
And a lot of times, so I'm looking down during the meeting. It's not because I'm not listening. It's because I'm making a note of something.
Exactly.
So I can remember later on what it was.
I love it.